in.
Pass interference. Defense.
Complete. But a flag is drawn. It's going to be on number 24 defense. Automatic. First down.
Welcome to the Pass Interference Podcast.
What's going on, everybody? Pass Interference Podcast back for episode number 3. I'm here with Cade. Say what's up, Cade.
Yo, what's up, guys?
Mark, again, will not be here. He is on a plane going over to the Miami Bills Thursday night football game in Miami. So I guess he's Mr. International these past couple weeks.
Always on the road. I guess he might be on the team now. Fucking yeah. Traveling with him.
Yeah, buddy's the water boy for Miami now. So he's gonna miss this episode as well. He should be back for the Saturday episode. Getting right into it, let's jump into some news. We got Unc Shannon Sharp. He had a big fumble come out today for us, but when this comes out, when y'all be hearing it was yesterday. All I'll say is go on Twitter and look up Shannon Sharp Instagram Live. That's all you gotta know. It was a big fumble.
I feel like it was fitting to be yesterday too.
Yeah,
that was Shannon Sharp's 9/11. You could say,
dude. And then Buddy tried to say that he got hacked, bro.
He did. He did. And then he said it was his team that said that. Yeah. But you know what? He took full accountability. I feel like he shouldn't have to take accountability. It is what it is. He's a grown man. We shouldn't be surprised. Unc is putting it down. He's laying the pipe. I mean, look at him, bro. He's looking good.
Bro.
But I got to say, it's not fair. You know why it's not fair? Because Paul Pierce went live with a couple of baddies in a party, chilling, and he got fired.
Yeah, ESPN canned him. But yeah. Anyways, we're going to get right into Christian McCaffrey injury situation. Fantasy owners that have Christian McCaffrey, I'm sorry, y'all. He got ruled inactive just an hour and a half before kickoff on Monday Night Football. I mean, Kyle Shanahan, kind of a nasty boy for that. But I hope you all picked up Jordan Mason or worked something out. The only league I had Christian McCaffrey in was a dynasty league, and I was able to trade for Jordan Mason 20 minutes before kickoff. So I got lucky there, kid. I know you weren't as too lucky with the, three or four leagues you have Christian McCaffrey in.
Yeah, dude. I don't know how this year, but I got like 3 first-round picks, and I didn't want to be too cute, so I just went all McCaffrey, and then this bullshit happens. But you know what was weird is Mason said that he knew he was starting Friday, but the Niners obviously didn't want to say anything because, you know,
to get fined, it's like, yeah.
Well, also, the teams do this thing where they play a game of, like, they want to leave it up in the air of who's there or who's not. Like, they're obviously not going to tell you outright, McCaffrey's not playing this week. Like, why would they tell you that? They'll just wait and, you know, let you think McCaffrey's playing. So, but really, it doesn't matter with this team and this system. But fantasy owners, they're getting screwed.
Oh, yeah. I saw some, after he said that, he had the little, you know, post-game actual press conference, and you could tell Kyle Shanahan just like chewed him out for saying what he said, and he reiterated it and kind of just said it was either Mason who said this or Shanahan, but basically that he didn't get told straight up that he was starting, that they were just kind of telling him to prepare to start, and maybe some position coaches told him he was starting to hype him up. But I don't really believe that, to be honest. It's probably just all, you know, trash to make it seem like they didn't actually tell him he was starting on Friday. So,
yeah.
That's where I see
Shanahan's it. A slick guy. You know, he doesn't want players talking too much. So he's like, Like, whatever's going on behind the scenes, they have nothing, you know, it's not their business. So it's
right,
like,
right.
Especially when you're just getting the starting role, you can't kind of disclose anything like that.
Yeah. Yeah. But nonetheless, I mean, Jordan Mason, he looked amazing. Christian McCaffrey, baller. System running back, question mark? Just kidding. let's not saying that. But yeah, he looked amazing.
The system is beautiful, though.
You know? Oh, yeah. Like, oh, yeah.
Since Mostert days, you know, like anybody you can plug in there, they've been cooking. So
yeah.
Yeah, Shanahan knows what he's doing. I mean, it's obvious. But is he finally going to get that ring is the question. Like,
dude, here's the thing with Shanahan. I think he's the best offensive mind in the league. Well, it's between him and McVay for being the best offensive mind in the league. And I think he's a good play caller. The problem with him is, and for some reason, especially in the playoffs, his play calling gets worse as the game goes along. Like, his fourth quarter play calling sucks, especially when it's a tight game. So he's going to need to clean that up if he wants any chance of a ring, I think.
Yep.
And a lot of people hate the 49ers. I like them. I'm a big Debo guy. A lot of people hate Debo. I'm a big Debo guy. I love Christian McCaffrey. I love George Kittle. There's a lot of players to like on that team. So I'm rooting for him to get that ring eventually, but we'll see if that happens.
I'm the exact opposite. I'm a Cowboys fan.
Yeah, the
Niners more.
Cowboys fans and Eagles fans hate the 49ers. Hate them.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't want them to get number 6 whatsoever.
But yeah, there's a chance that CMC, or if he's probably will not play this week either. So
yeah, I was gonna say real quick, like, so what's the deal? Like, are they just kind of being coy about it? Like, is this we're looking at like maybe 3-4 weeks here, or?
So there's this guy on Twitter, Jesse Morse. I always look at his Twitter page for injury news. Because he's a doctor and he goes over all the football injuries. So it's tendonitis, which is the inflammation of the tendon, the Achilles. So it's not exactly, I'm sorry, this is a bunch of doctor words that I'm too dumb to understand. So basically, he likely has, so... He's saying is he won't return this week, likely. He likely won't return this week. And Kyle Shanahan already said it's a long shot for him to play. But he should be back within the next couple weeks, it looks like. But he did say, he has said, if/when he returns, McCaffrey is not going to be 100% and will be dealing with some pain. Especially because he's getting older for a running back now. You know, obviously he's an outlier. I think he's still going to be elite 2 or 3 years down the road, but it's the truth. The older you get, especially as a running back, the less your body can handle. So, especially when you're coming off an injury like this. So, it's not an actual tear at all of the Achilles, just inflammation. But this doctor is saying, Jesse Morse is saying, if he does have a possible partial tear of the Achilles tendon, there's serious risk of a full tendon rupture when Christian McCaffrey returns, which would be horrible. But as far as we know, there's no partial tear or anything like that. Yeah. So
it seems like they're playing it slow. And if you saw the game, it's like, it's obvious they have no reason to rush McCaffrey in. They're obviously a Super Bowl run type of team. They want to preserve him. I wouldn't be surprised if he's sitting another week after this week and then coming back slowly into the system. It's going to be bad for fantasy owners for sure. Like, you guys, I don't know. I wouldn't say trade him just yet, but like you better have something, you know, to replace him. Like, that's a first overall pick. It's crazy. It's like, what are you gonna do? What are you plugging in, Austin Eckler?
Yeah, honestly, unless you picked up Jordan Mason or were able to trade for him somehow, or you drafted him already as a Christian McCaffrey manager, or you drafted somebody late, maybe somebody like Brian Robinson or something like that late, yeah, you're probably cooked. So, yeah, that's the truth. But if I was Shanahan, honestly, your one goal is the Super Bowl. You're not worried about making the playoffs. You know you're going to make the playoffs. You have a good enough team to do that. So he's chasing the Super Bowl that's eluded him for quite a few years now, even though they've been so close, especially very recently, these past 4 years. So if I'm Shanahan, I'm shutting McCaffrey down for probably, you know, he's not going on IR, that's for sure, but I would say I would shut him down for like 3 or 4 weeks just to play it safe.
At least, yeah.
Because you don't want to lose him for the season.
If they're keeping at this pace and Jordan Mason's like filling the role this well, you just have no reason to rush him in.
Exactly. That's my other thing. You have such a good backup in Jordan Mason. He proved, I know the system is a, you know, heaven for running backs, but you don't want to rush him back when you know you have a great backup in Jordan Mason. So
yeah, the system is great, but then let's not forget, you know, it's been years, but you get guys like Trey Sermon, they get talked up, oh, they're gonna be this, they're gonna be that, and then they stink. Yeah, so we do have to give Mason his credit. Yeah. I want to see if he keeps this going. I mean, they might have a two-headed monster at running back. So
yeah. So moving on to another injury that happened in week one, Jordan Love. We all know now about the injury in the last minute of the game when Jordan Love was trying to pull off sort of a mere comeback against the Eagles. He got injured. Now, it looks like he's going to return a lot sooner than the initial thoughts about it. So it went from possible ACL tear to just an MCL sprain, which was honestly best case scenario. But a lot of people were looking at 3 to 6 weeks. That's what the NFL announced. That's what doctors were saying it was going to be. But Matt LaFleur said today that the door is open for him to return this week in week two. Now, I don't think he's going to, because I don't think he should. I mean, that's just asking for him to get re-injured, I think. But it looks like there's a very, very, very good chance that he's playing in week three. So that's crazy, and that gives me a lot more hope for the Packers season. So
for sure. They could be playing one of those games again, like they're, you know, trying to trick the other team. Oh, maybe he might be back. But I would say I wouldn't be so quick to rush him back in. I want to see the Packers, how they function without Jordan Love, just to see if they have a system in place that could be like friendly to a quarterback that's not so, you know. And I really am interested in seeing if they can kind of coast and like win a few games.
Well, I think why Matt LaFleur said the door is open is because he saw Malik Willis practice as a starter for a couple of days and then was like, yeah, the sand hit dog.
Yeah, probably, dude. Yo, they threw that man in with 10 seconds, like, go win us the game. He's like, what?
Bro, like, tripped over a backpack.
Yeah. Well, you know what? If he can come back sooner, that would be even better.
Yeah. If I was LaFleur, like, I know. I'm not so this week the Packers play, who do they play? They play the Colts. That's going to be a hard game. I think they definitely take a loss.
Assuming I wouldn't even Jordan rush him in for that one.
I wouldn't either. So that's going to be a loss, I think, with Malik Willis. And then week three, they play the Titans. You know,
I could see him squeaking that one out, but the Titans don't sleep on them.
I think they're one of the bottom five teams in the league, but I still think they can compete. So if you're playing Malik Willis, former Titan, then you might lose that one too. I think the Titans are a mid enough team to where you can say, okay, let's not rush Love back for this one either. So you might start off 0-3, but at least you don't lose your franchise quarterback for the season.
The Titans are extremely beatable too, though. So yeah. it's like that's why I'm interested in seeing games like that, like where it's like the Packers and Titans. Sure, you don't have your main quarterback, but I still see you as the Packers. You have all these weapons on offense. You have a good running back. You have a pretty good defense. Like, you should still be able to have like a structure that kind of like keeps you going. Like, we shouldn't see the Titans drop, you know, 24 to like 14 even. Like, it shouldn't be that kind of game for the Packers.
Right. Yeah. So if I was LaFleur, even if he's making this incredible progress and can be back by week 3, I think I would still shut him down for that game and then have him return week 4 versus the Packers, which is going to be a very good game, even with Jordan Love, I think. You know, we'll talk about how Sam Darnold looked a little bit later during the game recaps. But
yeah, against the Vikings, it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, that's going to be a good game. Vikings are a good team. So, yeah, Jordan Love probably returning a lot sooner than everybody thought he's going to. A couple other injuries to talk about. Devon Achane and Raheem Mostert both got injured. Raheem Mostert has already been ruled out for Thursday Night Football versus the Bills. Devon Achane has been ruled a game-time decision with an ankle injury. He avoided a big ankle sprain, so that's good. But, I mean, this is why I'm not a huge fan of Devon Achane. He has such a small frame, I feel like he's going to get injured every single game. So as fast and explosive as he is, I mean, I remember the first carry that he took as a rookie, and he just got freaking body slammed, and the defender like didn't even really try to tackle him and body slam him like that. He's just so small that it's so easy to do that to him. So
yeah,
it's I feel like this is gonna be just about every single game again this season. Where is Achane gonna be able to play because he's dealing with an injury? It's just like, you know, Jaylen Waddle. He goes into every game, I feel like, and comes out with an injury at some point. He might go back in, but that's how I think Achane is going to be all season long. And then
honestly, well, so injuries are already kind of messing the season up. Yeah, so with the Dolphins, I feel like this is going to be a pattern for them all year, not just with Achane, because I feel like they're going to have a carousel at running back. So it's like Mostert is gonna get injured, and maybe Jeff Wilson might get injured. Like, they're just gonna have to keep rotating guys. I don't know how that's gonna work out for them. I feel like having two main guys that are always available is the way to go. But I mean, who knows? I mean, if they can stay healthy, it wouldn't be bad. But yo, you were hitting on the Dolphins. Like, they came out a little shaky.
Yeah, dude. I was like, not going to say I was victory laughing, but after the first half, I was like, yo, kind of cooking right now. But yeah, they ended up squeaking in the win. The offense started firing on all cylinders in the second half. But all I'm going to say is I wasn't very impressed. Now, the Jaguars might just be a good team this year. I like that team. I think they underperformed last season, so they might just be a good team this year. But
we could start our game recaps with this game, because
let's go ahead and do that.
I do have to say the Jaguars had it in the bag. I mean, they were looking at a touchdown to go up 2 scores, and Javon Holland just punches that ball. Was it ETN's hand?
Yeah, it was ETN. He was that it didn't get him benched.
That turned the game
he
around.
Lost a lot of snaps confidence after that. I mean, that was he was on the half yard line. I feel like when that ball got punched out.
It was literally like they were about to just put the game kind of away, and then the whole tide turned. Was it after that when Tyreek caught the 80-yard touchdown?
Yes, it was that drive that Tyreek killed. Yep. And then once that happened, the momentum was just completely on the Dolphins' side.
And,
you know, Tyreek Hill had that little handcuff celebration because of what happened that morning. I think we all know what happened there by now.
Tyreek Hill. Popo, man.
But our buddy, let me just say, Tyreek Hill was like, oh, what would have happened if I wasn't Tyreek Hill? Yeah, if you weren't Tyreek Hill, man, you would be in jail right now for beating your wife and kid. Just saying. Just saying.
Yo.
Just saying.
I mean, he would have been in jail even for what he did. Like, the reason he even got away, or not got away, like, obviously he wasn't guilty of anything. The reason the cops, like, chilled out, let him go, let him play his game, and then now they're getting embarrassed is only because he's Tyreek Hill. Yeah. If this was a normal person, they would have done that to him with complete impunity. So it's like,
yeah, exactly. Listen, I'm not gonna sit here and say the cop didn't have a little bit of power trip once they saw it was Tyreek Hill, but like, I mean, and Tyreek Hill admitted it in his interview yesterday. So, I mean, I guess props to him for that. But you know, if he would have just not rolled his window up, that altercation would have never happened. So
also, he could have explained, like, I'm going to a game, my NFL player, they probably would have been chill.
Yeah, exactly.
Where I got mad was when Calais Campbell came to help and they started pressing Calais Campbell. Oh, it had nothing to do with the situation. That was like, okay, yeah, you guys are just completely overboard now.
Oh yeah, yeah, that was a power trip by them for sure. But yeah, I just think it was a little bit funny that Tyreek tried to act like the victim a little bit there, and
probably listen, because this is the first time in his life he's been one and not on the other side.
Yeah, no, exactly. Elite football player, horrible person. That's my take on it. But
I mean, I feel like, yeah, we've come to learn that with Deshaun Watson and such.
Oh yeah, I forgot. Breaking news also, Deshaun Watson still sucks. We'll talk about that in the Browns Cowboys game recap, but yeah, I'm a little bit disappointed with Mr. Happy Ending over there. But yeah, Dolphins squeaked out the win.
Should we run it from the top?
Yeah, let's go ahead and transition to that. We done boys, huh? Your Cowboys. Is this your guys' year?
Look, I told you guys, take the Cowboys for plus money because I knew we were going to win. They were underrating us, but I'm not falling into this little like hype train again. Like, okay, we got to get a cool win. Yeah, like, I got to see way, way more. So, but I knew that the Browns were shaky. I knew that they weren't going to come out solid. Now, I'm not going to say they can't find their way, find their rhythm, but Deshaun just completely solidified my opinion on him. Because, man, the guy is terrible. Like, I don't know what happened to him. You might have been right about that Clemson offense thing, because this man looks like he doesn't know how to play football anymore. It's gotten that bad.
Listen, I'm not saying it's sad because he's a good person. He's a horrible person. But it's just sad because Deshaun Watson, the football player, was so fun to watch in Houston. And it looks like, genuinely, it's like the player that he was left at that massage parlor, bro. Like,
yeah,
it's insane.
No joke. For real. Like, since that situation, the man's not the same at all.
So I don't know if I feel, honestly, I feel like the best explanation is the rumors that I brought up last episode about Houston letting him run the Clemson offense. I feel like that makes the most sense. Since he's fallen off this much. But
yeah, it's brutal, man.
I mean, your boys, they paid Dak and CeeDee. This game.
Funny enough, the episode we filmed last episode, I said we haven't taken care of Dak, and what happens the next day after all that waiting? We finally got to it. So I guess only Micah's on the chopping block now.
Well, you guys, I guess I saw a report today that you guys went into contract talks with him, and he wants to be the highest paid non-quarterback in the league, I think it was. So
it's always something with these guys. Look, I like Micah, I love him, but I gotta say real quick, he came into the league, I looked at him as one of those dogs, like, different breed, but man, he's not that, like, especially off the field. He's kind of just a guy. Like,
he's so annoying, bro.
Yeah, and I don't like the little favoritism he tries to give to seem unbiased towards, like, his opponents. Mm-hmm. Like, man, just play your role. Like, be the dog. Be the guy that everybody hates or something. Like, you don't always have to be the middle ground, likable guy. Oh, like, yeah, he's trying to talk up Daniel Jones. Like, dude, what are you doing? We just had a big win. You're over here talking about how Daniel Jones isn't bad.
Say that, like, he sucks, bro.
Yeah, like, or you don't even say anything at all. It's like they're trying to turn this into the NBA where everybody's all buddy-buddy and stuff. Yeah, it's like,
I don't like that stuff And that's why Tom Brady is the best competitor of all time. Like, brother, if you weren't his teammate, he hated you. It's nothing personal, but he hated you.
Yeah, and it's like the way he does that little off-the-field podcast with Stroud, and he's like all hanging out with him in the offseason. I could see Micah just leaving as a hype beast player, like signing with a big team because he doesn't care about the Cowboys. Like, but when he came in, he made it seem like he's the core structure, like he's the pillar, the guy. Like, I'll never let this team down. I'm a Cowboy. And now I'm like, yeah.
Not only that, but I agree. I think he's the third best edge rusher in the league after Watt and Garrett. But here's the thing. He's never stepped up in a playoff game. Like, but when the playoffs, when the bright lights are on, he's not that good. So, in my opinion, I don't know if I'd give him that contract until he can prove that he can turn it on in the playoffs.
Oh, yeah. This year he has to show something.
As much as it's fun to blame Dak, which I'm still going to blame Dak for a lot of those playoff losses, I feel like a lot of that blame should go on guys like Micah, who are... their name is called and they don't step up at all in the playoffs.
That's true, because our recent playoff games have been very close, and we needed that kind of big sack or maybe even a fumble, like something, you
or
know,
just the pressure on the quarterback.
Yeah, even that. Yeah, we'll see. I mean, this is his year to prove and earn that contract, but I truly don't think he's the most valuable non-quarterback in the league. I don't believe that.
Yeah, I don't either. I think it's, without a doubt, T.J. Watt. That's my opinion. We'll go ahead and segue into that game now that T.J. Watt partaked in this last week. Steelers with the upset on the Falcons. The Falcons' offense did not look good. But, I mean, what's your opinion? Was that more so Kirk not being who we thought it was going to be? Or is that just T.J. Watt dominating and Steelers defense dominating? Because I think that might have been the best defensive performance I've seen in the last, you know, 5 years or something like that.
It's certainly a little bit of both. I think the Falcons aren't going to be this bad all year. They're going to iron it out and improve. But, you know, I did have the Steelers third in the division for a reason, because I think they're underrated. Now, the offense, I don't like it so much, but like you said, the defense is looking amazing. And if they can keep the low-scoring games that low-scoring, their offense is decent enough to kind of hold on, you know? So, they impressed me. I mean, the Falcons, they disappointed me. I put them as a division winner, and I still think they could do it, but I got to see more. I'm kind of disappointed.
Yeah, I was. I really thought this Falcons offense was going to be great this year. I still am going to ride that hill for right now, because it's week one. Scoring is historically, especially recently, down week one. T.J. Watt had, again, as I said a few minutes ago, I think the best defensive performance I've seen in a few years now. And Kirk is just now coming off the Achilles. He looked even more immobile than before the Achilles tear. So we'll see if that's just, you know, the week one rest, or if that's going to hinder him. I will say the usage of the key offensive weapons when you're looking at Bijan Robinson and Kyle Pitts, Drake London, was a lot better. Drake London obviously did not see that many targets, but I think that was more so just Kirk struggling because of the Steelers defense and the rest of coming off an Achilles tear week one. But Kyle Pitts ran a lot more routes, ran a lot more shorter routes, like kind of like layup routes, which last year my biggest problem was Arthur Smith, I feel like, only used Kyle Pitts as a clear route guy. And then had Jonnu Smith, for whatever reason, running these layup routes that elite tight ends should be running. So I liked Kyle Pitts' usage a lot more. Now, I think he's going to earn targets more down the road. But just usage in general this week was definitely a good sign. And then Bijan Robinson, there's a lot of rumblings about Tyler Algier getting a lot of work, which Algier is a good player in his own right, but give Bijan Robinson the ball. Now, Bijan didn't have a great game, but he got pretty much all the work. So I do like the usage, but yeah, the Falcons offense is going to have to start stepping up. And, you know, Steelers offense, Justin Fields sucked, but as you said, that defense might be able to carry them. We'll go into another upset that happened. The Patriots beat the Bengals 16-10. Now, I'm not going to take a lot from this game. Obviously, it's a huge upset, but the Bengals and Joe Burrow just suck the first, like, 1 to 3 weeks of the season. So, are you on the camp that you're just kind of throwing this game out and you just know that the Bengals are going to suck the first few weeks of the season, or is this like a sign for the Bengals season long, you think?
I don't think they're going to be this bad all season. I think it's good that they had this kind of game at the start, because it'll make them like tee up. Mm-hmm. But I'm not disappointed with the Bengals that much. I'm more so impressed with the Patriots, because I wasn't really looking for them to win this one. So they came out and surprised me. I mean, I know that division is going to be competitive, but I don't think the Patriots could like keep this going all season. But if they can do it, it would really surprise me. I have them last in the division. But you know what? Now I might have to reconsider.
Their defense looked amazing. Like, their defense might be back to being, you know, in that top five range. The offense looked bad outside of Ramondre Stevenson. But, yeah, the defense looked really good. So,
they also don't really have anyone on offense. It's like,
right. It's Ramondre Stevenson looked good, but, I mean, they don't even have Drake May in there yet. So,
yeah.
Keon White looking like the best pass rusher in football. Obviously, that's an exaggeration. I'm joking, but
it's okay. These are week one over exaggerations. That always happens.
Yeah, but Keon White looked good. The defense looked good. Jared Mayo, you know, we'll see how the Patriots look in, you know, a few weeks' time. But Jared Mayo, good head coach debut. I like what I see. The Bengals, they did have a little bit of unluckiness. You know, I want to say it was Tanner Hudson, their tight end, who caught a pass and was making his way to the end zone, got to about the like 2.5 yard line, I think it was, and got the ball punched out. So similar to like the ETN situation we talked about a little bit ago in the Jags Dolphins game. You know, that's a touchdown.
That's a punch in the gut.
Because of a fumble on like the 2 yard line. So I'm not worried about the Bengals at all. I think they're gonna bounce back and be just fine.
Yep. Jamar Chase wasn't as explosive as I thought he would be, but
yeah. Okay. Oh, did you see that he turned down a 4-year $140 million contract that the Bengals offered him?
I didn't see that, but I'm not surprised.
That's $35 million a year, bro, that he turned down. Are we serious right now?
You know what? He could have a mediocre season by his standards. Like, I wouldn't be surprised. Like, he needs to lock in
if he wants to get any more great, than that. Especially, like, if he knows he wants to be the highest paid receiver in the league. So he knows that he's got to lock in to do that. So I think he's going to be really good, but his ego might get to him, because I mean, he's elite, but he's got to chill out. I mean, they offered him to be tied with Justin Jefferson as the highest paid receiver in the league, so I would have just taken that if I was him. And
yeah,
all he's doing is drawing out this process, and it doesn't mean
god need damn to be you out. Christian Kirk, you ruined everything.
Dude, buddy actually just ruined the market, and he was barely used week one, only one reception. But yeah, let's segue from a team that I am not worried about at all to a team that is a complete dumpster fire, Panthers got absolutely obliterated by the Saints, I might be eating my words with what I said about the Saints last episode. You might be right about the Saints, but I don't know. I think the Panthers are just that bad. But
I agree. Panthers do suck, but the Bayou woke up. And Derek Carr, I'm impressed. I always liked him, but I didn't think he... Rashid Shaheed stepped up. Olave didn't have to do much. I didn't think that the connection with the other guys was going to be so good.
But yeah.
Here we are. I mean, you're looking at what they dropped, 50, 40?
47, so yeah. It's 47-10.
Yeah, it's the Panthers at the end of the day. Let's not overreact. They have a good game coming up against the Cowboys. That'll tell us a lot more about the Saints.
Yeah, but yeah.
Don't sleep on them. Wild card type team, you know?
I still don't see it, man. But, you know, we'll see where they look in a few weeks. Chris Olave, fantasy managers, did not be frightened. I think he'll bounce back against the Cowboys. I mean, the Saints did not have to pass the ball at all in the second half. So,
yeah,
I'm not worried about that. But Bryce Young is, like, just so bad.
Oof.
So many of his throws. You talk about the stats guys, they have to deem whether a catch is catchable or not. There's some that might be just out of reach of the receiver's hands, or it looks like they're able to make a play on the ball, so they deem catchable or non-catchable from that. I mean, these throws were not even close to being catchable. Like, it's like defenders weren't even jumping for them. Bryce Young looks horrible. I don't want to say he's done already, but he's done. I think he's done.
I agree.
He's just not a starter in the NFL.
It's crazy to me that, I mean, we're in the year 2024 and teams are still in the situation where they're going big on guys with all the hype and then they don't do proper scouting and they end up in a situation like this. Like, we've seen good teams scout. Like, we've seen the Packers wait and get a Jordan Love and take the heat for it for years and then see it mature. It's like, when are other teams finally going to catch up? Like, are we just going to keep doing this every other year? Like, where this big hype beast guy comes in, they take a risk on him, and then he ends up like this?
Yeah, it's so unfortunate for Panthers fans and that franchise. I mean, that move set them back, like, honestly, 5 to 10 years. They're not going to be anything for the next, at minimum, 5 years. So,
yep.
I mean, they don't have any building blocks. They have Derek Brown, which I think is a really good player. But outside of that, I mean, I think Jonathan Brooks is going to be good, but we haven't seen what he is in the NFL yet because he's still coming off that ACL tear from being at Texas. I mean, they have Robert Hunt at guard. But outside of those, I don't even know if you could call them building blocks besides, like, Derek Brown being a building block and Robert Hunt, I guess, too. But, I mean, they have nothing.
They had a franchise receiver, and then they traded him and said, hey, we need a receiver one again.
Like, yeah.
Guys, come on. Where's the management? I think it's all with the ownership because this is new ownership, yeah. Relatively.
David Tepper sucks. I mean,
yeah.
Honestly, if I'm Roger Goodell, I'm having a serious talk with Tepper and saying, dude, you need to lock in because you're honestly embarrassing the NFL right now. I mean,
I heard he's too hands-on, even more so than like a Jerry Jones, which is crazy. Like, I heard he's just trying to get in everything.
And it's obviously not working out at all. He's ruining the franchise by doing that. I think that goes for, obviously, you know, the Cowboys are still a really good organization, but with Jerry Jones, him being so involved, I think messes up a lot of things. And Tepper is just taking that up to an extreme.
Because his market is so much smaller, it's not going to work out the same.
Right, exactly.
You're not the Cowboys, so it's like you can't get away with these things, and you're not going to be able to maintain the viewership, the attendance, the hype, and the money to get all these star players. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just going to dwindle. So
Pat McAfee was talking about on his show. Well, you got the NFL. Merchandise sales are going up. Ticket sales are going up. Just revenue in general is going up. And Panthers are having a hard time selling their season opener tickets. It's
brutal.
That franchise, just in general, is going downhill. I don't know when they'll be able to recover. I mean, in the next few years, it might get to the point where Roger Goodell is like, this is a hot take, but we know that with all these London games, Roger Goodell has been wanting to have a team open up in London. I mean, has there ever been a forced relocation and like sale of ownership to where, let's say, Roger Goodell is like, dude, you ruined this franchise, so we're going to make you relocate to London and Tepper, you're out?
Well, what they could do is like AI his voice into saying the N word, because that's how the old owner got cooked, because he was saying racist stuff, so they sold the team. So they could try that, I guess.
Dude, with the way AI is going, yeah, dude. I mean, that franchise is cooked, but you know, your Saints are might be on the come up.
Yeah, it's just week one. We'll see.
Yeah. Talk about another blowout that happened. The Vikings absolutely steamrolled the Giants. Daniel Jones buns. Sam Darnold looked good. Now, it was the Giants, but Sam Darnold looked good. What did you see in that game?
I try to have a hot take and say the Giants were going to win, but yeah, that Daniel Jones reminded me that he's Daniel Jones, so... Vikings did impress me. Justin Jefferson, man, talk about a guy that's like earning his money. Like, he's, no matter who's under center, like, he's just going to be open. He's going to be carrying the team regardless. And I like the Vikings a lot now. And I don't think Darnold was going to last too long, but if he keeps going at this pace, I mean, he's going to last all season. So, you know, I'm impressed with the Vikings, and same usual with the Giants. I'm not really, it's like, I'm not surprised.
Their defense, the Vikings' defense, is really good. I talked about the improvements I think they made to it. They added Jonathan Grenard. They added Blake Cashman. They drafted Dallas Turner. I think this defense is going to be really good this whole year. I think Darnold is going to be a average starting quarterback in the league this year, which is great for a bridge quarterback while J.J. McCarthy is out for the year. So the Vikings might be a surprise, like, wild card team. I think they might be a decent team this year. But, again, you can't take too much away from this week because it was the Giants, and the Giants are in the conversation for the worst team in football. So, well, I don't know. The Panthers, I think, have that lockdown, actually. But they're definitely a bottom three team, so...
Yeah, they're right there with them. So.
Yeah. Let's get into a much closer game, a divisional game, Texans-Colts. This was a really good game. It had one of the best throws I've ever seen in it from my man Anthony Richardson. I love Anthony Richardson so much, but this is a barn burner. And both offenses were firing on all cylinders. What was your takeaway from this game?
I mean, I expected that. I think everyone expected that, and we got what we expected, which doesn't happen every time, but this was just perfect. I mean, you couldn't have wrote it any better. This is going to be a rivalry to watch for the next 5 years at least. If Anthony Richardson just stays that guy and nothing crazy happens, God forbid, I mean, this is going to be insane. I mean, we're looking at kind of... I'm going to go crazy. We're looking at a potential Tom Brady, Peyton Manning type rivalry.
I like it, man.
I feel like these guys are here to stay, and they're in good franchises that are going to keep them solid and keep them, like, provided. And, yeah, Just want to say real quick, dude, before the season, I bought my brother Texans Colts tickets in Houston, and thank God I did it before the season because the tickets went up crazy. Oh, yeah, now.
I bet.
Yeah.
That's going to be another fire Texans Colts matchup to watch later in the season.
You think Colts get swept?
I think they're going to, I mean, we'll see what happens in a few weeks, but I think they're going to take the next matchup.
I like that.
We'll see what happens, though. But, yeah, I mean, Anthony Richardson, on the stat sheet, he was inaccurate, only going from 9 for 19. But if you actually, like, watch all his throws, I think a lot of them were, there was, like, two drops in there. Two or three drops in there, I'm pretty sure.
One critical mistake that I was like, and exactly. You know that one.
And listen, Richardson, I expect him to not be the most accurate quarterback in the league by any means, but I think he'll be a lot better most weeks than 9 for 19. And in those 9 completions, he had over 200 passing yards, which is kind of insane for 9 completions, especially given the fact that quarterback passing yards was very low this week. So, yeah, Anthony Richardson is going to be great, especially when you factor in what kind of threat he is on the ground. Shane Steichen, I think, is an amazing offensive mind. The Colts are going to be scary this year. I'm very excited to see how they play. And the Texans are, I think, exactly what we thought they were coming into the season. CJ Stroud, again, I think is going to be a top 5 quarterback. Their receivers are all dangerous. Joe Mixon looked better than I thought he's going to look. This is going to be a tight race, honestly, for the winner of the division. And yeah, I could see this being maybe the best quarterback rivalry of the next decade. So maybe a week 1 overreaction there, but that was a great game.
I don't personally think it is, but I mean, when you're going 5-10 years in the future, yeah, it's like it's going to be hard to say what's for sure. So, and from what we're seeing now, I don't think it gets any worse than this.
Yeah, I agree, especially given how big of fans I am of Stroud and AR-15. Let's go into another barn burner, Bills-Cardinals. We said that Cardinals plus 6.5 was one of the best plays last week. It hit. Looked like the Cardinals were going to win out for a little bit there, just went straight out there, but Bills pulled through in the second half. This was a really good game. I mean, this was a barn burner, son. Kyler looked good in his first game of the season. Josh Allen looked good. They had that Joe Brady system where, I mean, Josh Allen only had 5 completions, or it might have been 5 passing attempts in the first half. So the Bills show their identity. They want to run the football, but you have Josh Allen, the quarterback. You're going to have to throw the ball, especially when you're down. But the Cardinals, I think, might surprise some people this year. What do you think about that?
Yeah, you hit this game prediction on the head last episode. It was insane. It was actually a good game, and the Cardinals surprised me a lot. Marvin Harrison Jr. didn't have to do much of anything. The Cardinals are already pretty solid as it is. If he can emerge, they would be even better. I did not look at the Cardinals as this type of team to hang with the Bills this closely. I mean, I know they can put up points, but they surprised me for sure. I'm looking at them now. I could see them as a dark horse second place finish if they really lock in over the Rams.
Especially with all the injuries, the Rams are piling up.
Yeah, and the Rams, besides that, kind of look a little shaky with the play calling. So, yeah, there's a lot that remains to be seen, but love what I'm seeing from the Cardinals. And Bills, it's business as usual. Josh Allen's him. I love the guy. Me and him have a history. Won't go too much in there, but love the man. You know, he's a beast.
He's a unicorn, man.
Yeah.
But both of these teams, honestly, just based off week one, are exactly what I expect them to be. Both pretty good offenses and pretty bad defenses. Bills lost a few players on the defense, so I expected them to not be as good. I mean, they have Gregory Rousseau, is I think one of the best pass rushers in the league, but outside of that, pretty bad on defense. Cardinals don't really have any special players on defense besides like Buda Baker. Offensively, they need to get Marvin Harrison Jr. the ball more, but he's a rookie, so give it time.
Has route running looked a little suspect? I'll say that. Maybe it's the rust, I don't know, but you know, I watched the film, and it was even on that play that they said he should have, Kyler should have hit him. If you watch the play develop, Kyler's making the read, he's progressing, and then he turns to him like too late. It was already in like awkward timing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I can't really blame Kyler on that. I got to see Marvin Harrison Jr. with a little crispier route running, and I think more solid separation, he'll be okay.
Yeah, I'm not worried at all. I still think he's the best receiver prospect since Megatron. He's going to be just fine. It's his first rookie game, so just give him time and he'll start to shine. Bro, just a bit of bar there. we got Titans-Bears. First rookie quarterback first overall pick quarterback to win a game in the past 16 seasons. So
going their opening game.
Yeah. I mean, Caleb Williams.
Jinxed that last week.
Yeah, I know, bro. Now, he wasn't good. He was honestly downright horrible. But, hey, he got the win. Will Levis dropped maybe the best football picture of all time when he dropped to his knees in Soldier Field after throwing that pick that gave the Bears the lead. I mean, that was awesome.
Yeah. But, hey, I almost got it. I didn't sleep on the Titans. I liked them, and they had the lead. They choked in the end, but you know they're a mid team. But I feel like they have more potential than the group of teams that are going to be around this year because of their record. They certainly have a lot of potential. I'll say that.
I agree. Will Levis definitely not their guy of the future. I think that kind of already got proven this early into the season. He'll start all year, I think, but yeah, he's not their guy. They have a decent team around him. I mean, they were up 17-0 against a pretty good Bears team. Again, Caleb Williams played pretty bad, so that goes into account. But yeah, the Titans are definitely a team that some people are sleeping on. But yeah, Bears just barely squeak it through. They had a lot of good special teams plays down the wire there with the block punt being one of them. So yeah, we'll need to see some improvement from Caleb Williams for sure, though. Let's get into another rookie quarterback game. Bo Nix and the Broncos lost to the Seahawks by just 6. Bo Nix looked horrible. I mean, there was probably 6 plays I counted where it should have been a clear interception. That was, gosh, what did you see from Bo Nix there?
Well, as usual, preseason doesn't really tell us much. So, I mean, this was a pretty mid Seahawks team that I thought he could show out on. But I think the Broncos are due for more of the same this year. This isn't the magical year where they somehow turn into a potential playoff team. It's just not happening.
Yeah, I'm gonna say I thought Bo Nix sucked as a prospect, and he sucks as an NFL quarterback too. He's not gonna be their answer, I don't think. He was their first round pick. I mean, you gotta give him more time, obviously. First game, rookie debut, but I just don't think he's gonna be good at all. to be making that bad decisions as the most experienced college quarterback of all time. There is not a college quarterback that has played more games than him. I feel like you have to be a little bit more ready than that. I didn't see any bright spots in this game at all for Bo Nix. So
yeah, I mean, what I mostly came out with, like, is the Seahawks. They're kind of leaving me puzzled because I think of them as a mid team, but some weeks they can just pull a game out of like nowhere.
That's exactly what I think of them too. I think when you think of the definition of mid, the Seahawks are the definition of mid when it comes to football teams in the NFL. Like, they're not good, but they're not going to be competing for one of the top picks in the draft either. So they're kind of in that purgatory spot.
Dangerous place to be.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the worst place in the NFL, and I think that's where they are. They could squeak out a wild card spot, but if they do, probably just first round exit, you know? So, yeah, I don't like the spot the Seahawks are in. I mean, they barely beat a pretty bad Broncos team, too. So.
Yeah, also, is it me or are we hearing less and less of DK Metcalf?
Yeah, he's...
3 for 29, my boy? That's...
I mean, we
used to look at him as one of the top guys of the future.
I've always been on the DK Metcalf as overrated train. So, but yeah, I mean,
muscle boy. That's all he is.
He's a crybaby. That's what he is. Can't stand when he cries, bro. You're that big and you're crying. Come on now. But yeah, the Seahawks in general were pretty suspect in that game. We'll see if they can. We'll see if they can bounce back. They got a pretty easy matchup. Well, let me not get ahead of myself. They played the Patriots, who upset the Bengals and have pretty good defense so far. But
see, they can you see that? That's one of those like scrappy games that I think the Seahawks randomly could just pull out. Even though I don't think they're a better team necessarily than the Patriots, but I can't tell with the Seahawks, man. Can't.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be. Honestly, around like mid-season when we know what the Seahawks are. And yeah, they're just a mid-team. Let's get into another mid-team. Chargers beating the Raiders 22-10. They were, you know, John Harbaugh, run the ball, play defense type of team. Or not John Harbaugh, Jim Harbaugh, run the ball, play defense type team. We thought they were going to be. The Raiders suck, just like we thought they were going to. J.K. Dobbins, now I think his, finishing stat line was pretty blown out of proportion. He had two huge runs, but outside of that, he wasn't good at all. I mean, obviously he still has that vision that he had before, but I don't know if you saw those two big runs, but the burst and speed is gone because old J.K. Dobbins would have housed those two runs. So that's that sucks.
But. I'm not gonna fully go into the oh J.K. Dobbins is back and the you know even with the Chargers. I mean, it wasn't like they could have won by more. Like yeah. Raiders team is so bad, and man, we really gotta look at it. Did Davante Adams make one of the worst decisions of all time?
I think because, he did.
I mean, he's looking for a way out now. He's just trying to find any way out that he can.
He forced his way out of Green Bay to play with his best friend from Fresno State for a year, and now he's stuck in. I think the third worst situation in the NFL for a team. I mean, outside of the Panthers and the Giants, I think the Raiders have the worst situation in the NFL. So,
yeah. It's really sad because Davante Adams, in his prime, should not be wasting these years. He should have been in a competing for Super Bowls right now.
Because he only got 2 years max, I think, left of being in his prime. Maybe not 2 years max, but you know.
Yeah, I mean, it goes fast, man. It goes fast. And then when you're out here playing meaningless games and getting injured, it makes it that much worse.
Right.
So,
yeah.
I mean, prayers for Davante Adams. Maybe he can find his way out.
Yeah. But, yep, Chargers handily beat the Raiders. My Commanders, Baker carved us up 37-20. I was at this game. It wasn't very fun to watch. I have a lot of takeaways from this game personally. I mean, the Bucks look good, but I don't think they're going to be much more than mid this season. I mean, our cornerbacks are horrible, so Baker carved us up there. Our defense in general has just looked really bad. Jaden Daniels has a lot to work on. You look at the initial stat line and you think, oh, he did really good for his rookie debut. And I'm not going to say he didn't do, you know, solid for his rookie debut. I'm not going to harp on him too much because it was his rookie debut. But the amount of times he just looked at his first read, and if that wasn't open, just ran the ball, tucked the ball and ran with it, or looked immediately for the check down. It was about every play. And the truth is, unless you can go through your progressions effectively, you are not going to be good in the NFL. And that's just the truth. I mean, Terry McLaurin was open so much, and he just did not even look his way. It was starting to really piss me off. Like, I think,
especially being there live. I mean, yeah, you're seeing him how open he is.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the only really shot he gave to McLaurin, he gave a deep shot to McLaurin first play in the third quarter, and he overthrew him. It would have been a touchdown. It was like Terry was wide open, had like 5 yards of separation. And I think I know exactly why they did that. I mean, Terry looked visibly pissed off on the sideline, and I saw Cliff Kingsbury kind of like talk with him right when they got out of the locker room from halftime, gave Terry a little spank on the butt. So I was like, yeah, I think they're throwing it to Terry right here. I told my dad that. But I mean, and they did. They gave him a shot deep and he was wide open and Jaden missed him. But Jaden, he looked really good running the ball. So I'll give him that, but we knew he was going to do that. He needs to not be retarded and slide properly. He likes to just lean forward, jump forward with his head instead of sliding with his feet first. You're going to get injured, dude. There was a helmet-to-helmet hit on him. But, yeah, taking unnecessary hits like that, he needs to stop. He needs to go through his progressions, and he needs to target his alpha receiver. So that's my takeaways from Jaden Daniels. And then the defense sucked, but what's new? But, yeah, I think this is going to be a Commanders team that starts off really bad in the year, but kind of as Jaden Daniels gets better, the team in general is going to get better. So I think by the end of it, we'll end up with 6 or 7 wins, and it won't be as good as that 2012 RG3 rookie year where we finished 10-6 after starting off bad, but I think it'll be similar in that, you know, the way the 2012 season worked, that as Daniels gets better as a passer, going through progressions, the team will just end up in better situations. Because I know it was a blowout, don't get me wrong, but the Commanders were in this game up until like late in the third quarter. So and
yeah,
Cade York missed 2 field goals. If he would have made those field goals, they probably would have been in the game for most of it. So
that's insane. I mean, we're in 2024. If you have kickers that are still missing kicks, man.
Yeah,
like boot them.
Cut the next day, I think it was, or 2 days after, whatever it was. But yeah, the Bucks handled the Commanders pretty handily. But yeah, I think the Bucks are still going to be one of the similar to this. Not as many of the Seahawks, but they'll be an 8-9, 9-8 win team, I think. But Baker did look really good, so That's my takeaway from that game.
I don't have too much to say on this one. Baker. So I said Baker was going to have a bad season. You know what? I had y'all winning, and y'all let me down, but it's okay. Y'all were more competitive than I thought after initially seeing the start of the game. Like, you guys were pretty much in there more. I thought it was going to be worse. I thought it was going to be like the Panthers type situation, but you know, you guys are not that bad. You have a foundation, and Jaden Daniels, not necessarily the worst guy to have right now. He has a lot of upside, and like you said, he needs to refine his game. You know, like, nothing much has changed with you guys, unfortunately. You're kind of still the same to me. Like,
yeah,
a lot to work on, still have talent all around, just need more cohesiveness.
Mm-hmm.
A Baker, man, Baker might prove me wrong, man. Can't lie, like, I thought he was gonna have a little bad season. Thought the Bucks were going to be kind of mid, but man, I mean
if you're looking at who the NFL MVP is after week one, it's probably Baker right now. I mean, it's probably Baker.
Yeah, the season ended here. Yeah, Baker Mayfield is hoisting that fucking trophy up, I guess.
Yeah, but, which is kind of insane. But I mean, hey, I like Baker. He's not bad. So
I'm more surprised that Mike Evans and Chris Godwin are still playing at this elite level. I mean, when are we going to see these guys drop off?
Oh my gosh.
Did you see how many years?
Do you see that fade to Mike Evans for a touchdown?
Oh, yeah. That was exactly what you're talking about.
Beautiful
throw. He sunned that corner, whoever that was, man.
Benjamin St. Juice, he's a terrorist.
That's
my biggest problem with this team is...
I heard a lot about him from you guys this week.
Benjamin St. Juice, Emmanuel Forbes needs to, like... Bro, we need to trade him to a Wendy's in the DMV because he is so bad. I mean, that scrawny dude, let me tell you, bro. He gets burnt every single play he's in the game. He gets bullied. I mean, let me tell you, bro. He is so bad. They need to ship him out of there. He needs to get benched, never take another snap this season, and get shipped out of there. He needs to get cut, like, immediately. I don't know why he is still on the roster. I understand he's a first round pick in 2023, but that dude is genuinely one of the worst cornerbacks in the league. I don't know why he's still on the roster. I mean, he was part of the Ron Rivera regime.
President.
So just get him out already. Come on now. Like,
they need to let you take control of this team, dude.
That's what I'm saying, bro. That's what I'm saying, bro.
Well, how's the game, though? I mean, it must have been brutal being there, but how was the atmosphere? Is the Commanders, are they building up some hype now?
Dude, there was, honestly, I think half the stadium was Commanders fans. Like, there was a lot of fans there that were supporting DC. The area that me and my parents were in, we were in, like, the 200s, one of the corners. So it was, like, a small little section that was, and I would say probably 70% of that section was Commanders fans. So,
damn.
Like, we showed out. The team didn't, but the fans did. So,
you guys are surprising me because, I mean, if we're looking at the Panthers struggling, Panthers have maintained their name, image, everything. You guys went through a whole rebrand. Yeah. So, the fact that you guys are still doing okay, I mean,
don't even get me started on the rebrand, bro. I mean, I'm gonna say
I don't like it either, bro. I don't like it.
Bring back the name Redskins, but Josh Harris.
I still call him that sometimes. I feel like an unk when I do it.
I'm not gonna lie. The only time I call him the Commanders is if I'm writing an article for the website that I write for, or if I'm like on this. But I'm still gonna say Redskins because I mean that's what they are to me. I always call them Redskins, and I don't understand why they can't change it back, but. Yeah, I agree with you that we're pretty much at face value so far the same team as last year. The secondary sucks. The defense just hasn't stepped up at all. The only thing that's really changed is we have a rookie quarterback who I think should turn out good. So as long as he cleans up what I talked about. So because of that, as he progresses throughout the season, I think we will get better. But enough talking about that game. So we got two games to talk about. Rams Lions with a barn burner. I mean, I feel bad for the Rams because they lost a lot of players in this game. Puka Nacua, they lost, I think, three offensive linemen in this game. I think they won this game if they don't have all those injuries. So
yeah, man. Y'all knew what was in it for me on this game. Damn.
Buddy had 4.7K in the line.
Yeah. I had the Lions in it winning anyway before that because I just like them. I don't think the... Oh, did I say Lions? I'm tripping. I had the Rams winning because I don't think the Lions are as big or special as people are making them out to be. So I just figured, and I like the Rams. I think their talent is amazing, but the injuries really screwed it up. But other than that, it was a great game. God, they were getting gashed in overtime. Like, they made Montgomery look like prime Derrick Henry.
Dude, for and real.
It was crazy. I've never seen a team just completely fold like that. Like, it was insane.
Yeah, it was like their run defense just kind of, like, gave up. It was like... It's like they thought they had Derrick Henry back there because, you know, the way Derrick Henry works is he starts off pretty bad, averaging like 2 yards per carry in a game, and then he just wears down the defense because he's a big 250-pound boy, and he just wears down that defense. But, I mean, David Montgomery is a good back, but come on, Rams. I mean, you don't got a 250-pound Derrick Henry back there.
Yeah.
They like, just let him have his way in the overtime.
But Jahmyr Gibbs owners were not happy.
Dude, so David Montgomery's still a good back, so I understand why they're giving, well, it's still a 50, pretty much 50-50 split. Opportunity-wise, that's what it was. But I think Jahmyr Gibbs, if you give him the full workload, I think he's a top five running back in the league. So,
agreed.
I'm pretty sure Monty has an out on his contract after this season, though. So I think after this season, you know, they're
preserving him,
Montgomery, into the ground this season, and then
so they can preserve Gibbs. Yeah,
exactly, and then cut him after this year, and then Gibbs becomes a true workhorse back.
You know what, dude? There's nothing like. I know it was short, but if you saw DeAndre Swift on the Lions and the start of his career, man, it was something beautiful.
I thought Swift was going to be really good, but then I actually like learned a little bit more about football and realized that vision is important, and DeAndre Swift has the vision of me playing running back. Like, Buddy does not know what a hole is. The only reason he looked decent on the Eagles was because they had holes big enough to drive a semi through. DeAndre Swift is like, so they told me to cut into the C gap, so I'm going to bounce it all the way outside. Like, that's not how it works, bud.
But that's the thing, though. And the Lions, he wasn't at his best running because he was kind of used as a reliever.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, now I'm talking about his head in the passing game. I mean, you could throw this guy a simple little throw and he would take it to the house.
Yeah.
Just because when he has open space and he doesn't have to find the hole, this man is a beast. He's
so athletic. But, I mean, Gibbs is like, Gibbs has that same athleticism. Maybe but
better
even,
running, yeah.
Yeah, the same athleticism, but he has actual running back traits. So
yeah, for sure.
I think talent-wise, he already is a top five back, but I think he'll prove that once he finally gets the full workhorse role.
Absolutely.
So let's move on to Jets 49ers and Monday Night Football. This was... I thought it was going to be a lot closer of a game, especially when the Jets had that drive where they looked amazing. They scored, they had the first touchdown of the game. Aaron Rodgers was hitting Garrett Wilson. It looked like every single passing down, Breece Hall was kind of starting to get going. And then after that drive, it's like everything fell apart. All they had after that was, you know, Aaron Rodgers, if he has a free play because the defense is jumping off sides, you can already book it as a touchdown. So he had that touchdown to Alan Lazard. Hey, I'm going to say that Alan Lazard currently has 6% of receiving touchdowns in the league. Take that as you will. But I'm not too worried about the Jets. The 49ers defense is just so good. I think Aaron Rodgers was fine. He's going to be... He looked better than average to me, and I think he will be better than average throughout the season, and that's all the Jets need to be able to support this offense of studs with Garrett Wilson and Breece Hall. So, and I think Garrett Wilson proves that he's a top, what, five receiver in the league this year. I think talent-wise, he is a top five receiver in the league, and Aaron Rodgers is going to feed him the ball. So, I think the offense is going to look a lot better from here on out. The defense, I think, is still among the best in the league. The 49ers are just so good from an efficiency standpoint. I mean, the Jets would hold them to third down, and the 49ers were just so good on third down. So, I think there's a lot brighter days ahead for the Jets. And the 49ers, I mean, we already talked about them with the whole Christian McCaffrey injury stuff. They're just so good. And yeah, we'll see if they can actually turn it into a ring this season. But
well, when you're a team that loses Christian McCaffrey and can still do that, yeah, and then your Super Bowl potential automatically. Yeah. But I would be more worried about the Jets because, like I said, we haven't seen Aaron Rodgers have a real playoff run in a while. And with the injury and the time off, it's like you don't know how these things are going to affect him. Like, he's not that bad, but is he that good? Is he still that good is the question.
He's not the Aaron Rodgers he once was, but I think he's a little bit above average. I think he's going to be a top 12-ish quarterback in the league this year. Maybe fringe top 10.
And I think the Jets need to start looking for their future quarterback.
Oh, yeah, for sure, because he's 40 years old. This is probably his last. He maybe has one more year in him after this season. But
yeah,
this is Super Bowl or bust.
And I'm not trying to be pessimistic, but I don't see a deep playoff run in his future. I don't see it this year. I don't see it next year. I see bad seasons coming for him, especially in that division.
I mean, we'll see. I don't think you can exactly roll the Jets out after this game. I mean, I think the chemistry in the offense is going to get a lot better moving forward in the season. It was Aaron Rodgers' true first game as a Jet. So, I'm not worried about the Jets. I think they're going to be good. I think Aaron Rodgers looked solid. I think Garrett Wilson looked amazing. I think Breece Hall will run the ball better from here on out. So, I guess that's where we're on opposite sides of the spectrum there. You're pretty worried about the Jets. I think they're going to be very, just fine. So,
and their defensive line worries me a lot, too.
Their defense did not look as good as I thought it was going to. I will say that.
Yeah. But, I mean, I could easily eat my words. If they end up second in the division somehow, I say that's a very good year for them.
Yeah, and I think that's where they're going to end up. Now, the thing with the Jets is I think they're either going to end up where you're saying, like, they just, you know, if they make the playoffs, they barely make it and they don't go far into the division or into the playoffs, or they're completely fine and there's no reason to be worried, like I'm saying, and they have a pretty deep playoff run. It's one or the other. They're either going to be they're either going to completely underperform compared to what their expectations are, or they're going to make a run in the playoffs. So,
but when you're Aaron Rodgers, I mean, especially at his age right now, you're thinking Super Bowl. So
yeah,
me already from that standpoint, it's not looking good. Like, I don't know. I think it's a pipe dream. I think even going after Aaron Rodgers was kind of like a pipe dream move. Like, oh, we'll get this guy, and he's amazing. He'll take us to this. No, it's just not going to happen like that, guys. You're going to go back to the building block. I mean, back to the
drawing board.
Building the drawing board and building your future again, because it's going to be the Jets all over. Like, it's a cycle. It's going to keep going.
Yeah. They are the definition of Super Bowl or bust. I will say that. So, yeah, that's the game recap. I think we both went 11-5 last week, right? for our picks.
Yeah.
Yeah, so pretty solid for the first week. We'll continue to track our records and see who finishes best. We'll have to get what Mark's record was so that we can track it. But so far, me and Kate are tied at 11-5. Now let's get into Thursday Night Football. Who you got here? Bills, Dolphins.
I got the Bills. I don't like what I saw from the Dolphins. They're looking pretty shaky to me. So, I'm just going to go with the Bills. I mean, they didn't look amazing. Their defense looked pretty bad, but I think they looked a little better than the Dolphins for sure, because the way the Dolphins pulled that game out, it wasn't comforting. It wasn't like, oh, that was a solid win. It was like, oh, okay, y'all squeezed out. So I see the Bills taking advantage of that, especially on a short week. Injuries, got the Bills.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I think the Bills, it's going to be a close game. I think it's going to be a shootout, but I do have the Bills winning it. What I want to see from the Bills this week is, I understand that they want to make their identity running the football, and I think that's okay with the team that they have, but they do need to pass the ball a little bit more. I mean, five attempts from Josh Allen at halftime last week, I just don't think that's acceptable. And that's why they were down. I think it was 17-3 at halftime. So, yeah, I think, or it might have been 17-10, something like that. But I think they need to throw the ball a little bit more. But yeah, I have this as a shootout. Speaking of it being a shootout, we're going to get into a few of our favorite bets for Thursday Night Football. I think over 48.5 is definitely going to hit, because as I said, I think it's going to be a shootout. Bills defense, I don't think it's going to be very good. So how do you like the over there on 48.5 as a line?
Oh, wait, total points?
Yeah.
I like that. Absolutely like that. I mean, these are two high-scoring teams. That could easily be crushed.
Yeah.
I'm a kicker boy. I like taking kickers with these. And give me Tyler Bass, 1.5 field goals. I think it's that type of game. Watch for the new kickoff. I don't know if this is just me, but the new kickoff has made field goals way easier. Because you really need maybe 30, 40 yards to be in field goal range these days. So, I love it.
Yeah, so we like those. And then, do you have any player props that you like other than the kickers?
There's none that I really feel confident in right now. Give me a sec. Let me scout the board real quick. You could take over if you have one.
I do. So I do think Dalton Kincaid will bounce back. He only finished with one reception for 11 yards last season. I think he's going to be a lot more of the focus. He did not have a bad game. The Cardinals, if you watch, just doubled him like every single play. And I think that's smart, because I think that's their best receiving weapon. But I don't think that's going to be every single game where you see Dalton Kincaid only getting two targets. I think Josh Allen only has 5 passing attempts at halftime, also factored into that. So I do like Dalton Kincaid getting over 44.5 receiving yards. I like that bet. And I also like Curtis Samuel. I'm kind of torn on, because I think he's going to get more work into the offense. He was really like the fourth target last season. He only ran 9 routes and had a handful of snaps. So I think it was 13 snaps. So, but I think a lot of that had to do with his turf toe injury that was coming into the season. He ended up making it for week 1, but I think they just want to ease him in because of that injury. So I think he gets a lot more work this week. So I like over 1.5 receptions for him as well.
That's fire. I think I'll go basic. I like Tua, 1.5 touchdown, high scoring game. I think he can get it.
I like it. So that's going to do it for the Pass Interference Podcast. Long episode. We'll see you guys again on Saturday. We'll see if we were right on the Buffalo-Miami game, and we will get going onto all the Sunday night matchups and the Monday night football matchup. See y'all next time.
Peace out, boys.